Talking Tesla.
I'm not sure if like my foot should be on the brake or the accelerator.
Because they put rings on Elon.
It must be some sort of geometrical algorithm.
I don't need to touch the steering wheel there, Tom.
Oh, I'm sure there's some math. So SpaceX, here's the deal. Landing a rocket on a drone ship is key.
Charger.
How am I expected to drive a car without autopilot? Safely.
Charger. No, I'm not a good parker, Tom.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit it. Yeah. I just think that this is a car company that is run by super geeks. All the other cars are going to be stupid cars compared to this car.
You don't even have to remember that. You've got a Model X. I have seen the future, and it is light pole charging.
No, I wouldn't call it a screw-up. Do you like your Model X?
God, it's beautiful.
Love Talking Tesla. Number 112. What do you say, Tom?
Shall we? Let's begin.
Let us.
So, Talking Tesla 112. This is the second show in a row.
Uh-huh.
Sans Herbert.
Yeah, well, he'll kind of speech in.
Will he?
Yeah.
Will it be the same, though? Is it really about just hearing his voice, or is it about me making fun of him in person?
Yeah.
That really is what the listeners want. I mean, I have you to make fun of,
right?
Which is going to be fun. We're going to get into a little bit of that back and forth, as it were. But we're slowly diverging into an amazing week. Me and you are going to have a lot of fun this week.
This is a big week.
Listeners like you. Not you, Robert, but you listening.
I'm not listening.
No, you're not listening. No. Listeners like you out there have decided to hang out with us and take us to the semi-event so we can let you people know what our impressions are about the gin and tonics and the sliders.
And the hors d'oeuvres, yes.
And the hors d'oeuvres. Although the unfortunate aspect of it is I'm going to be driving, so I don't know that I'll be able
and you
to
don't have autopilot.
Be drinking, and I do not know. I have a very lovely yet much older Tesla who recently, this week, this is news.
Yes.
People might want to know.
Please tell me.
It got mobily repaired.
Oh. Did you get a video?
No, because my wife had it mobily repaired. I'm like, take pictures. Why?
Because I am the spokesperson for Talking Tesla Nation.
Right. So here's a problem. People have problems with Tesla. We and you occasionally have some problems with Tesla.
Yeah.
You have a lot less problems with Tesla than I do, historically. We'll just throw that out there.
Okay.
And
but then why are you higher up on the list for your Model 3? Well, we'll talk about that.
Mostly because
time.
I'm pretty badass, I think.
Okay.
Anyways, so they show up. They had to fix two things.
Yes.
The doorknob. I don't even know if you call it a doorknob.
Is it really a knob?
Let's call it a handle. The door handle.
The handle of the door.
So driver's side, driver's front.
Yes.
Handle.
Yes.
Would no longer present itself.
Oh.
So when you went present, it did. It like you could hit it, and I did. And you could push on it, and I did.
So it turtled.
Yeah. Okay. I like that terminology, by the way. If that's what you guys are calling it, amazingly perfect example of what it actually is.
I don't know about we guys, but at least I called
it that. Okay, yeah. So it turtled, which means it didn't come out of its shell anymore, I'm assuming. So they said they were going to come and fix it, which they did. And at the same time, they said they were going to fix the back window.
What's wrong with the window?
So passenger rear doesn't work anymore.
What?
It's as if the track that it used to live on has gone on vacation. Maybe it's with Mel. Maybe when Mel decided he wasn't going to be live in the studio anymore, he took the track to the Model S.
I think that your car is feeling some sort of like connection with our show Talking Tesla.
Yeah.
And we get sidetracked so often. Now your window is doing the same.
Oh, I like it. Sidetracked, off track. I like it very much. So you have to physically pull the thing up and hope it stays up, because if you tap on it too much, it'll just fall all the way down. You could steal anything in the back seat.
Right.
Or the front seat, I guess, if you get in there of the vehicle.
Wow, that's kind of jacked.
But they didn't fix that.
Oh.
They came without the part for that. So they're like, we're going to come and we're going to fix the door and the window.
Yes. Another time?
No. We're going to come and fix the door and the window.
Uh-huh.
But when they came, only the door handle, no additional parts with them. So this, we're still waiting on them to replace some pillar parts, pillar parts, and we're still waiting on them to fix this window. Okay. I personally believe our seat belts aren't working properly, and they don't think it's a big issue. Like, so they're not fixing that.
Oh, like, my God, they don't this go, is turning into the talking
no,
Tesla
it's fine.
Problem
They don't
show.
Go in, and by they don't go work as smoothly as they once did.
I see.
And so they're less smooth.
Maybe you need a little Crisco.
First world problem, potentially. But fine, give me a solution. Like, don't just say right. they're fine. Because right. they're not fine. They
yeah.
work,
yeah.
but they're not fine.
It's not an issue in the back seat. Sometimes in the back seat of the S, if you're on the rear passenger position, the seatbelt.
Can you be on any other passenger position if you're in the S? Left rear. You didn't say left. You didn't specify. You just said rear passenger position.
Right, I didn't say
position.
Passenger side. Yeah. It's true. So if you're in the rear seat, rightmost next to the door, that is the passenger side door.
Yeah, can you just use the proper terminology?
Exactly.
You're so wordy.
If you're quickly putting your seatbelt in, or maybe you've got a little bit of a wider hip action, you may actually put the seatbelt in the center seat
terrible.
Clip, which means that it's now difficult to either get it in. It will go in, but definitely difficult to get it out because you have to push the button that's on the inside now. And so that is kind of an issue that I've discovered as I've ridden in the back of the Model S.
Yeah, that's not what was happening here, though.
Well, it sounds like a sad week as far as service for you goes. I just want to know one thing. Did they come in a outfitted service Model S or X?
I don't know.
Oh.
I text. This is what happened. My wife says to me,
yes.
She says, "A, did you know that my referral code is Laney9300?" She says that to me.
Yes.
And then she says, because Tesla's coming to fix my car, and I want to make sure that they know that my referral code is Laney9300. And I said, that's great. Can you take pictures? And her response to me was, why? As if we haven't done 111 shows about this car, this vehicle, where we... Me and you and Mel occasionally, Cece, our friends, all we do is talk about this vehicle and the minutiae that surrounds it. So no, I have no photos to tweet. I don't know what the vehicle was. It, for all I know, it could have been a Bentley that came and fixed the car.
That kind of
but
have
I doubt that's what it was. But Robert, so that's my week in Tesla. So we have that.
Yes.
We're going to the semi event. Thanks
that's
to
right.
our listener, guest, friends, pals, who we are going to just have a grand old time with.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually trying to prepare myself because sometimes I get a little bit too like overimpressed and distracted by the flowiness and the showiness of the purple and the thump, thump, thump techno music.
Yeah,
and
I do like that.
There's a lot of people dressed in very, you know, becoming wear, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right.
It
the
is.
Best and the brightest, the elite.
Yeah, I'm kind of more interested in the engineers that are there and the people who worked on the design of the car. I'm not so into the, you know, the Hollywood scene, the party scene. And sometimes, like I said, I get distracted. So I've got to try and not get distracted so we can communicate with the mothership in which Mel will be. And he will be live streaming.
That's correct. So at 7:45 on the 16th, which is Thursday, Mel, who's not here, will be here.
Yes.
Live streaming the live streaming event. So Tesla announced that they're going to be live streaming.
Yes.
At 8 o'clock.
Right. And Elon said.
Which is going to be a picture of the stage for well over an hour. Until Elon decides to come out. Maybe there'll be some other folks. Maybe they'll do it like...
So you want to take a bet?
I
think we should make a bet.
Oh, goody.
All right. So I'm going to pull out a dollar.
Just
a dollar. I'm going to bet you a dollar.
$1.
Actually, my wallet's in the car, but I'm good for it. $1. That's your hard cash right there. Elon tweets just 3 hours ago, Tesla semi-truck unveil to be webcast live on Thursday at 8 p.m. So... Will he be there before 8:15 or after 8:15?
Well, he will be there much before that. Will he come out?
That's the question.
I don't know the answer to that question. I think Elon doesn't hit the stage until 8:30 or later.
Yeah, so it says doors open at 7,
mm-hmm.
and then it starts at 8, I was going
to... I put down the dollar already.
I was going to say that he would show up before 8:15.
Well, again, he will not, in my opinion...
On the stage talking.
Elon will not hit the stage talking until 8:30.
Remarks will begin at approximately 8 p.m. That's from the invite.
Approximately. All right, so you got 8:15.
Okay.
That's only 15 minutes late. That would be astounding.
Yes.
I got 8:30.
Okay.
You know what he's going to do? He's listening right now. He's going to come out at 8 and make us both look like idiots.
So we'll have to send him our money.
Which, honestly, that's our job, to make ourselves look like idiots, Robert. How dare he? So, Robert?
Yes.
Can you honk your horn right now?
That's what I was trying to do just a minute ago. Siri, unlock my car.
Okay, I've unlocked it.
So now somebody is getting into my car and driving away. So let me just, Siri, lock my car.
Okay, I've locked it.
Okay, good. Now you're asking me what? Can I honk my horn? Siri, honk my horn.
Sorry, I can't operate the horn in your car.
It's kind of cool, though, that you can unlock it. How about this?
Yeah.
Siri, turn on the seat warmer on my car. Oh, she's really thinking. The little Siri symbol.
This is good. This is good stuff. So
that's a new thing, though.
This is a new thing, right? So there's
a little bit
Siri integration into the Tesla app now.
Yes. This was not announced, although
very quietly.
Yeah, they put out this recent 3.2.1 release.
Uh-huh.
And the cool thing was that Electric. That's Fred. Actually had not updated his phone.
Mm.
And in this article, he tried to do these functions. Mm-hmm. Siri is still thinking, wow, she's not a genius.
So they really did integrate Siri because it doesn't work.
Well, it didn't work in the earlier version. Mm-hmm. He then re-downloaded the app.
Okay.
The updated app does work. It does unlock your car.
Ooh.
You're supposed to be able to flash your lights.
Nice.
But Tesla is mute about this. This is a new thing, and it was discovered by Chris Danks.
Thanks, Chris Danks. Good. Also, this week doesn't mark the return.
No.
It only marks the return in our ability to know. Because clearly the finger is not necessarily on the pulse. But the Tesla parking lot Instagram is back and has been for a little while.
Yeah.
It is Instagram, Tesla parking lot, no spaces if you're searching for it.
Yes.
And there are fresh images, although it's pretty boring.
Yeah, it doesn't show any alcohol beverage containers.
No booted cars.
That's
no,
true.
There's a picture of some Tesla tickets.
There are.
No alcohol bottles on the ground anymore. So clearly whoever brought this back isn't really bringing it his A game or her A game yet.
Yeah, they have 33 posts and they say DM us your best assumed pictures.
Yeah, so Tesla employees, if you're listening, bring us the funny on the Tesla parking lot app. The booted, the illegally parked, the poorly parked.
Yeah.
All of it. We want to see it.
It's like I want to go back and get some of those great old pictures of the people who like took the supercharger and like used a hanger to tie it to their gas cap opening.
Yeah. We're not interested
on their Ford Fusion.
We're not interested in pictures of cars parked in the parking lot.
We want, like, the car on its roof.
Yeah. It's got to be problematic or out of the ordinary. That's that. Let's get into the heart, the meat, the real fluffy bits of this show. We're going to start off with Ford.
Yeah.
Inking a gigantic, massive, humongous, and quite large deal in China to do what, Robert?
They're going to build electric cars with
Zolti
Auto.
Hold on a second. We're reporting on electric cars being built in China?
Yeah.
What is up with that?
The largest market for electric cars.
All right. That's going to be exciting. So is this the same kind of deal?
It may be exciting, but it depends on if it happens before 2020.
At some point, we're going to be doing this show in 2020, Robert, and we'll have to have a new date to make fun of.
Yeah. I think we need to probably have either somebody do this for us, because I know we're not going to, some sort of a spreadsheet as to all the things that we plan to see in 2020 that we're expecting and reporting on. And
a lot of things.
Just get a report card. Are we going to be 70% or 20% or what's our grade going
to
be?
So we all think that Tesla planned to build a gigafactory in China without a 50-50 deal with the Chinese government.
Right. And so this was a 50-50 split between Ford and Zolti.
50-50 right down the middle.
Which enabled Ford to actually do the deal. But Tesla seems to be going through with their gigafactory in China without any other Chinese company involvement. That would go against the Elon ethos of don't split, don't share.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but like don't let anybody mess your party up.
Right. They didn't need to be wooed.
Yeah.
They were unwooable.
So there's speculation that there is a relaxation of the partnership mandate in China. And that's what I thought was the most interesting part of this story.
Oh my God. Do they refer to it as the partnership mandate?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So Daimler has unveiled another electric utility or big vehicle, a bus.
A
for
bus?
Kids.
For not a city bus.
No.
But a school bus.
It does operate in a city, though.
To take the kids to Escuelo. And this was another lovely article on
electric.
Oh, yeah.
And how many kids will fit on this bus, Robert? It says here 81 kids with 160 kilowatt hours battery. So what that tells to me is that each child requires 2 kilowatt hours of battery to make their way to school.
Well, this would take them actually 99 miles. So that would be pretty amazing.
They could school get by and back.
School and back for probably, you know, many schools and back.
It might even take them to the science center on one of their field trips, potentially.
Exactly. Even better for that. And so this, I thought, was really great for a reason that we're going to discuss in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But just basically, they said, well, it makes sense. You know, electric vehicles go a shorter distance than gasoline or diesel vehicles. And school buses go, you know, a really set distance. They pick kids up, they bring them to school, or they take them on field trips. It's not like they're traveling to Arizona.
Right.
They could, but they don't typically.
I mean, they could. I mean, they could if they're on a sports team, they might travel longer distances.
True that.
On their school bus.
The bus will take them to school. Then it sits around and waits for the kids until there's maybe a field trip or they just sit there sad and lonely.
Do you think buses are sad?
They could be.
I don't know. They might be.
Yeah.
They might be sad.
There was a kid's cartoon, I think, where the school bus got lonely. But anyway, while they're lonely, they could be plugged in and charging.
And at school, so many schools around us are installing solar.
Yes.
They could be being charged by the giant fission reactor in the sky.
It's true.
Could be charging them.
So this is a moderately interesting story for many reasons.
It's more than moderately. It's 100 miles of range interesting.
No, I think this is great. And they talk about this other company, Bluebird, which launched a school bus, and Lyon, which is a Quebec-based school manufacturer.
Now, Bluebird's bus is supposed to be out in 2018. They announced it quite a while ago, so I don't know at the moment whether or not. Now, this bus has a 19 kilowatt charger on board, the Lion bus, which that's pretty comparison. Charges with the J1772 plug, so could plug in almost anywhere.
Yeah.
And it makes its power with LG batteries. Did you know that?
Batteries. LG Chem makes a lot of batteries.
LG Chem.
Maybe in the top, they're probably in the top three of battery manufacturers.
But one interesting thing about this that I wanted to run by you is they're claiming right from the get-go, from the start, on the website alone, a 15-year battery life.
That's pretty sweet.
Is that good? That doesn't feel great.
Well, how long do school buses last for?
I don't know. Well,
I think it's like 15 to 20 years.
Okay.
Because they don't drive a lot of miles.
Right.
But the problem is that as they get older, they pollute more. They get poorer gas mileage.
But that won't be an issue here.
I realize that.
So you would like it to last even longer. Now, that's the battery life. So maybe they can pop out the battery, put in a new battery, and the car should last longer. But don't you expect your Tesla to last longer than 15 years in some ways?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the highest mileage distance that I've seen spoken of is a theoretical 900,000 miles, which is pretty darn long. I know Mercedes touts cars that have gone over a million miles, but that's a fraction, small fraction,
very
of
tiny.
All the cars that they put out.
Yeah, and they change their oil every 8 miles.
I thought this story was really exciting.
Nothing.
Because it reminded me of a story I had read in 2016, and
okay.
I've resurrected that story.
Oh.
It's called The Long Road to Safer School Buses.
Ooh.
And it talks about how kids all going to get on their school buses, mm-hmm. These buses are all idling, they're diesel, they're putting out a lot of emissions, they don't have good emissions controls, or hadn't before mm-hmm. this group of studies that were done by UC Berkeley, the National Resources Defense Council, and
the Coalition for Clean Air.
That's it. And so the amount of pollution, this was what caught me, inside the buses. And this was, they rented a bunch of buses.
The pollution's supposed to be on the outside
right.
of the bus, Robert.
They rented a bunch of buses.
Okay.
They outfitted them with sensors outside the bus,
mm-hmm.
inside the bus, and in cars ahead of the bus.
Oh.
And they drove them around Los Angeles on established school routes.
Uh-huh.
And they found that inside the buses, 4x as much pollution from the diesel as outside the bus. Crazy.
That is terrible news.
And this is our children breathing this horrid air. They have nowhere they can escape. And they recommended kids always sit in the front of the bus away from the engine. Now, since this study came out and it prompted a big turnover in the bus manufacturers, they have better insulated the buses. They've put some type of pollution controls on their buses.
Did they get them from Volkswagen?
Right. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've repeated this study. But there are other studies that were done, such as a Yale University study that was done in Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
which showed similar conclusions. This is rampant, and this is a disaster. And I know one thing that would make this all go away.
Electric buses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're on our way. Hopefully, we'll get a lot of electric buses.
Another truck is coming.
What?
Yeah.
It's just a plethora of trucks. So we have the semi truck.
We do.
We just did two articles on the buses.
Yes.
And what kind of truck is this one?
This is one of the pickup trucks that was announced in the spring. It's called Workhorse, or that's the company Workhorse.
Uh-huh.
The truck itself, I think, is called the W1. I don't remember, and I'm making an opportunity for all the listeners to send us bad comments that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But
okay.
The bottom line is that this truck got announced, and they put on their website, like, if you're interested,
uh-huh.
fill in your email address.
Yeah, and give us some cash.
4,560 people expressed interest.
For the W15, that's what it's called, the W15, sort of a play on the F-150.
Yes, and it goes 80 miles on pure electric power. It is a hybrid. It's a plug-in hybrid.
Which is awesome, by the way.
80 miles. Payload rating, 2,200 pounds. That's like a ton.
5,000 pounds of towing power.
Yeah.
And if you're at the job site, let's say you pulled up to the job site, it's just an open field.
Yes.
The guys haven't come to attach the portable utility thing yet, so you could
right, so
work
how are
your
you
saws.
Gonna,
you
gonna,
can plug them into this and use the battery to power your job site.
Whoa!
Which is pretty cool.
It is, and it only is estimated to be $52,500, which is not a huge amount
which
of money.
It's less than the Model 3.
Yeah, that's
at
true.
At the high end anyway, so we don't know if this is going to be, but this thing's going to have dual electric motors, 460 horsepower, Robert.
They said they didn't do a full-on electric car because they didn't have the resources to both design and build it.
Well, plus they were afraid of the market aspect of it, right? They were afraid that they would build a full electric vehicle.
Yes.
And people would be like, I don't want a full electric vehicle. I want to know that if I need to drive my truck. So here, I drive my truck all week back and forth to the job site, 80 miles, perfectly fine. But on the weekends, I want to put all my family in the back of it. Well, not in the back of it, but I'll put all my stuff in the back of it and throw my family in there and go on vacation, drive 500 miles and not have to worry about slow charging. This article does not talk about the speed of charging for that 80 miles, but, you know.
I'm sure it's going to be around the same as charging any
right.
real electric
30
vehicle.
30 miles on a level 2 per hour, that sort of thing is my...
So if you're interested, look up the Workhorse, give them your name
mm-hmm.
so that they'll have an indication for even more orders. I believe they're in Ohio. So again, American-made vehicle, all electric or hybrid electric
and
to start.
$300 million is what those pre-order sort of things were worth.
The, yes.
The amount of people who said, I would like one.
That's pretty good. You can get some bank loans on that.
Yeah.
How about autonomous driving?
That's when you're driving without driving.
Yeah, that's I kind of do that sometimes.
Well, you do it a lot.
Yeah.
Because your car has the auto and the pilot.
That's true. Or you can do it when your wife is driving for you.
That's true. It's still not technically autonomous. I'm not driving.
You're not driving. She can make a detour and you have nothing to say about it, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's marriage right there.
Yeah. So this article comes to us from Wired.com. Yeah. It's about Waymo.
Waymo.
Let's refresh memory. Waymo is actually related to Alphabet and Google.
Ooh.
And Google used to have its own self-driving car fleet, but now it is reborn, if you will, as Waymo.
Reborn.
Waymo has gotten so bold as to now take the human out of the self-driving car.
So they were driving these things around, but with an engineer in the driver's seat in case the car decided to do something crazy.
Yes.
And now they've removed that person from said vehicle?
That's right. They've been driving people around using this engineer to sit back and watch the cars. And this is very limited. This is in Chandler, Arizona, where it doesn't snow.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much sleet. There isn't even much rain. And this is a suburb of Phoenix. They got from the city, like a layout, very detailed maps. They got the traffic light signal pattern, so they know exactly which lights are where, how long they last. They got a lot of data input from this region, and they drove these cars around a whole lot. Like a butt ton?
That's not on the shirt, dude.
It's not. I'm trying to say it funny, but not be offensive and say things
don't do it. Don't. Just move on, Robert.
Okay. So 1 week ago, John Craftsick. So he said there will be no humans in the car to grab the wheel if things go bad.
So they'll be in the car.
There will be humans.
And if things go bad, none of them can grab the wheel.
Right, because it's going to go full on auto. And so this is a transition to level 5.
Oh, it sounds like it is level 5. If there's no people.
That's true.
It's actually level 5.
They're doing it in Arizona because the weather's good, like I said. Mm-hmm. There's no self-driving car regulations.
Zero.
And the city of Chandler is very supportive. They're looking forward to rolling this out throughout Phoenix. And who knows how long, a city near you.
That would be cool. Hey, Google, send a Waymo car to pick me up.
My apologies. I don't understand.
Wow. You will someday.
Isn't she related?
You will someday.
Isn't she like Google's daughter and the cousin of Waymo?
She's got a whole backlog of emails from Google she's going through. She just hasn't gotten to this one yet.
All right. Well, they expect this is going to be Google or Waymo stepping off into the ride-hailing service, which I think in some cities may be pretty popular. You don't have to sit there and make, you know, little chat. You can do whatever in the car. You can talk to your girlfriend and have an argument, and you're not worried that the person sitting up in the front driver's seat is listening in on you.
You won't get into a car that smells like cigarette smoke or is listening to Kenny G on the jazz station or any of the other things that might happen. Although you also won't get to meet very interesting people, which occasionally happens. I have met some lovely folks in ride-hailing services, as it were.
And you won't, or maybe you will, feel rather guilty that you've put all those ride-hailing service drivers out of a job.
I will be using ride-hailing autonomous vehicles. I will always have a change of clothes with me, and I will just change my clothes in it. I don't know why I want to do that in a vehicle that is driving me, but I'm leaving work, I want to get into my jams.
Yeah.
And then by the time I'm home, I'm just pajamaed up.
Yeah. And in fact, you could go to work
and
like go to work, like your work starts at 9 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Just get in the car at 9 a.m. and start working. And
then
when you get to work, you're now dressed, your jammies are back in your bag and you do your work, and then you're supposed to be done at 5, but just screw it. Leave it 4.
Okay.
Your commute's an hour.
Right.
Work on your way home.
I like it.
And then when you get home, you've already got your jammies on. You finished your work.
Mm-hmm.
You've just saved 2 hours out of the day.
Right. So it's not about working extra hours during the commute. It's using the commute hours to work less in the office.
That's right.
I like it. It's ingenious.
It is. And then you can use Google as your web server, and Google can tell you which restaurants to take your significant other to that night, and
that
what's going
awesome.
On, what music is playing.
And do you think you could use another service? Like, let's say this, you're driving for 1 hour and you forgot your coffee or breakfast. So you use a Google thing and you have another car pull up alongside you
while you're on
with
the freeway.
Breakfast. Well, I mean, maybe you pull off into a side street. I don't know. The freeway seems like it could be dangerous, but maybe there's going to be car-to-car docking situations happening.
Yeah. Or maybe this will bring back the old drive-in.
And I could get a breakfast sandwich and a nice cup of coffee. That would be amazing.
This is just sounding like the Jetsons more and more every show.
Really,
so
is.
I thought that Waymo, I watched this YouTube video that's included in the article.
Uh-huh.
You should check it out. It's kind of cool to watch.
Yeah.
But I thought that Waymo's autopilot was better than Tesla's because it
blasphemy.
Was driving. It was driving on these unlined neighborhood streets.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they show this garage and they had at least 40 of these vans. They're Chrysler Pacifica vans with LiDAR on them. They've developed their own LiDAR. I mean, this is coming to you. I think this is coming faster than we think. And so Tesla, not really pushing on the autopilot front very hard.
What do you mean? When you say that, it drives people crazy. One of those people is me. What does that mean? They're not pushing very hard.
Well, I should say they're not pushing and getting results.
Oh, snap. Take that, Tesla.
I'll be more exact in my critique.
There you go.
Though Tesla is rolling out new things in autopilot and not telling us. Yes.
Like what, Robert?
So the neural net and the vision system that Tesla uses,
I am the neural net,
has been delved into by hackers.
Hackers?
I know of at least one hacker.
That's one.
Who has hacked into his Tesla and is watching the communications going from his Tesla to the Tesla brain, the central brain.
That sounds incredibly boring and also maybe a little interesting.
Well, it is interesting because he gets himself recognized by Electric.
Oh, I like what you did there.
And so it turns out with recent updates,
there's
been an uptick in Tesla's uploading data. It started in May and it's taken another big jump. Tesla evidently is running additional autopilot capabilities in what's called shadow mode, right? So we common folk, you, Tom, me, we're common folk. We are not the Tesla hacker like this dude or dudette, very green, who found that the vision system is now recognizing more and more edge case scenarios. So there's a picture that he or she showed. I can't remember if it was a Twitter or an Instagram, but there's like these round barrel looking orange construction cones. They're big with like a messed up scene. In fact, I looked at this picture and I was like, where the hell are you supposed to go?
Yeah. You couldn't even figure out how to get
there. I could not. And then he superimposed underneath the sort of text that's going from the car in computer language to Tesla. And it's like query, I don't have it in front of me.
01010111.
Compute construction zone. And so like the car is actually querying the Tesla neural net.
Interesting.
Is this a construction zone?
Yeah.
And these are things that have not yet been seen by these hackers.
Or even potentially, okay, here's a construction zone. Has another Tesla gone through here?
True.
And been able to solve some of the problems that are currently in front of us? And the interesting thing is Tesla's new director of AI and autopilot vision came from Google.
Yes, and it seems that this whole system that they're now running, this software system, is very similar to the Google.
So the Google van.
Google net.
Is working.
Yes.
At level 5.
Yes.
The Tesla was not.
Correct.
And the guy from the Google.
Yes.
Is now working at the Tesla.
Yes.
I mean, I put one and one together.
And you hit pay dirt.
Always is it too, every time.
So Tesla said rapid rollout of additional functionality over the next several months are progressing rapidly towards our goal of coast-to-coast drive with no one touching the controls.
That is the goal, the stated goal for so long now.
And that was the statement on the earnings letter just from last week. And Fred at
Electric,
he was saying that, and this I thought this was worth reading. It's with the Tesla Vision neural net now reportedly, quote, right, and the apparent floodgate of data opened, we might be able to witness some significant improvements in Autopilot 2 capabilities, which Tesla claims will lead to fully self-driving capability.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And it should be on your three there, Tom.
Well, it's hard to say. When you say my three, that's the theoretical three.
Well, you're getting it before me, damn it.
Well, we don't know. We have no idea. I mean, that's what it says.
It does say that.
It says that. But what does that mean? Because it seems very counter to all of the other information.
Yeah.
But there it is.
It does give you hope.
Oh, I'm so hopeful. It's literally all I have. Is hope that one day a hockey stick handled car will be mine.
And it'll bring your hockey stick to you as well as your curling stone.
Yeah, that'd be heavy.
It would be. But it gives me thought about mining and curling stones and lithium.
Now, if Mel was here,
yes,
he would be able to explain to us the rapidly expanding lithium mining operations in Western Australia, as well as where Western Australia is. Because from what we were talking to Cece before the show, because she's here. She turned on the technology because me and you could clearly not do it.
Looks like she's fallen asleep.
And we asked her where technically Western Australia is, and apparently it's everywhere except for the very east coast of Australia. So Australia is a gigantic continent.
Yes.
The east coast has all of the cool cities.
Yes. And the coral reefs.
Everything to the west of that is Western Australia. It starts literally like 8 miles outside of Adelaide, and the whole rest of the country is Western Australia.
Yeah, it looks like it's at least a third of the western part of the country. It is a big, wide open place.
Yeah.
And there are not a lot of people there, 2.5 or 2.6 million people in an area that's probably the size of the Western United States.
We don't need people. We need what's in the ground. And what's in the ground there, Robert?
Lithium.
And what do we do with lithium?
We give it to patients with bipolar disorder.
No, Robert. No. We make electric vehicles with it.
Indeed. And we make power walls.
Well, not me and you.
Power
we don't.
Packs. Well, we drive electric vehicles with it.
We do, yeah.
It's true. And so this is a very exciting story that the biggest lithium mining operation in Australia has yet secured more funding and identified more lithium. And this is going to be the largest source proposed of lithium in the world. And in fact, there's a huge amount of money being poured in by Chinese folks, including a company called Great Wall, which evidently makes cars. And I am ignorant.
Right, because you're going to need lithium to make cars.
Yeah. So Great Wall is going to be a car manufacturer that's going to fund like an entire development of lithium. They're expecting that they're going to reach 800,000 tons of lithium a year. I can't characterize which tons those might be because it's spelled funny with an E, and that's like an European or a
couple
British
of N's
ton.
And an E. It's yeah, a lot so, of things.
And so this hard rock lithium evidently is a great quality. Mm-hmm. It's better than that in Chile, Argentina, or Bolivia.
Mm.
And so it sounds like lithium is going to be coming from Australia, and Australia is going to be great again.
So so Gigafactory 3, Western Australia.
That could be.
Or would that be Gigafactory 4? I'm losing track of gigafactories. Sparks, Nevada. Buffalo, New York. Mm-hmm. 3 was in China, so this would be 4.
And I just pulled up a picture of a Great Wall SUV.
It's nice.
It's in Russia.
It looks like a 4Runner.
I think it's a gasoline-powered car.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. If it was an electric car, A, we'd already know about it.
Yeah.
And we'd have talked about it ad nauseum.
It's true. But it does not, looks like it's a real car. I don't know how well it drives.
They make cars. Yeah. Their company, their car company, and they need lithium. They're going to turn it into an electric car, just like Nantucket is going to turn. We're going to turn the entire island of Nantucket into an electric vehicle.
Well, not exactly. We can't drive the island very far.
No,
it's very heavy.
I don't understand, Robert. We have an article here about Nantucket, and clearly it's going to be turned into an electric vehicle.
There are maybe one or two electric vehicles on Nantucket.
Probably. It's near Cape Cod, after all.
It is. It's 30 miles off the coast, and the problem is that they're dependent on two cables bringing electricity to them. And if those cables should break, and
they're getting old. A positive and a negative, or like a positive and a ground?
Yeah, probably two-phase. That's AC for you.
Sweet.
Yeah. And so they're saying, like, we need another cable, because these two old cables aren't going to be reliable.
Sounds like us. Are they talking about us?
And so to bring a cable from the mainland over is a really expensive endeavor.
I can't imagine what it's like to string a cable, even 30 miles. And there are cables that go all the way across the entire Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, and they don't even carry electricity. They just carry, like, communications.
Yeah.
And so this, it would be a big project. And so let's say the power goes out on the mainland.
Let's say it right now. Boom. Power's out.
Cape Cod.
Now what?
Power outage.
No more Cape Cod chips.
They start up this big old diesel generator,
of
which they have two.
Dose.
Smelly, expensive.
Don't be mean.
And not environmentally cool.
But you got to have lights, man. You got to run hospitals. You got to do something.
Diesel generators are also getting old. So why the heck are we talking about this?
I don't know, Robert.
Who is coming to the rescue of this island?
Hold on a second. Let me guess. The show's called Talking Tesla. I'm going to say Tesla.
Tesla. Yes. Tesla and Elon are coming to save another island.
They are just on an island mission.
Yeah, it is. Boss, the airplane.
What are you doing
over
there?
That's Fantasy Island.
Oh, the plane. The plane. Hervé Villaches.
The plane. It's Elon. He's bringing batteries.
We really need Mel back.
Yeah. So they're going to put a 48 megawatt hour Tesla battery pack on the island, along with a new diesel generator. So
why both, Robert?
Yeah, because the battery pack evidently will give them 8 hours of electricity on the island, which is great for a short hour outage.
For 8 hours or so.
Right. Exactly. Or 7 hours and 58 minutes. Sure.
Yeah, whatever.
But for longer than that, they're going to have to fire up the generator. But hopefully that would hold them through most power outages.
Yeah. They should just build double Tesla battery pack.
Well, the amazing thing is just off of Cape Cod, they're planning an enormous wind farm, and there is so much offshore wind there in close proximity to a lot of people living that they could generate a huge amount of electricity from wind farms, but there's been all this backlash that they are going to be ugly and they're going to disturb the beautiful, serene views of the sea, and that's a whole nother story. But
you know what the wind has on it that the sun doesn't?
Smells.
The wind shines at night.
That's true. That's good. So the wind could be a power source.
Correct.
All day and night.
That is correct. You're welcome. I'm over here on the other side of the table just thinking about wind.
I was thinking about the smells.
The smelly winds. We're on the same page.
It's a supercharger okay week.
It's time for Robert Rosenblum's supercharger update. What people on this show, they look forward to every week.
Yeah.
How many superchargers are we getting this week, Robert?
This week, we have two new superchargers open. One in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
That's pretty cool.
And the other one in...
Oh, my goodness. Dun-dun-dun.
Kettleman City, California. 40 plugs. Shabam.
Wow. That's one of those super superchargers.
Yeah, the super duper charger.
Do they have a name? Mega supercharger? Like, no. What are they officially being called?
I think we should give it a name.
We should call them Talking Tesla Superchargers.
These are chargers for the nation.
Mega Charger.
Gigantor. Oh, maybe that would be good.
Gigantor.
That's
a good tune.
And so the supercharger in Kettleman City is now open.
That's pretty cool.
Not official.
So it's open but not open?
Right. So the problem is that the little lounge that they have a big flat screen TV with a Tesla logo blazing on it. The lights are on, but the doors are locked.
Oh.
So maybe they haven't, like, installed the toilet paper holders. And the curb stops, you know, when you drive your car in and the thing that you bump your tires against, they're not there.
The thing that, well, first off, the thing that the Tesla scratches comes up against to bump your tires on. I don't think I've ever bumped my tires on one of those things. I've hit the front fairing on several dozen of them. Hey, wait, don't tell my wife.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe Tesla could have some of those placed there that don't challenge the front end of the cars. We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see.
You just have to, every time, the Tesla should just know that's what it should do. It should automatically be aware to raise its suspension if it has that smart air suspension.
Yeah.
And then you can just scoot right over the little curb stops.
They said there is a little section of grass with a fire hydrant for the dogs.
Well, that's cool for the dogs.
And that there, just the other day, there was a Model S, an X, a 3. They were all there for some sort of a photo shoot.
A 3?
Yeah.
My 3?
Red.
Was it mine?
Maybe they're bringing it to you. I sure hope they do. I
haven't even configured.
And most importantly, on Saturday morning, a person named Anonym 1979, not sure how to pull that one apart.
Anonym.
Probably born in 1979.
That'd be my guess.
Showed a picture of a blue Tesla with a green ring around the charge port plugged into one of the finished bollards. So,
and Walter B. confirmed that with a state of charge at 60%, he got a 60 kilowatt hour charge rate? 60 kilowatt charge rate,
there's
sorry.
A little more. 70.
Oh, 70. Oh, 60% SOC.
There you go.
70 kilowatt charge rate, which is... Wah, wah, wah.
But the reason I say it's not yet open is because another fellow, Dag, today drove by there and he said that he was turned away. They didn't let him charge. They're still installing metal railings around the walkways, the bollards, and the electrical cabinets. Most of the landscape is complete. But
that's right. There's none of those protective things up to protect you from driving into a bollard.
Yeah, and so they're putting AstroTurf out and about and some landscaping rocks, and they still have to paint the lines. But I expect this is going to be done by the truck event.
But if you limped in there, let's say this guy Dag limped in there 0 miles.
Yes.
You think they would have let him charge?
Probably could.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was two open. I'm so glad that one is open.
Yeah.
I looked a little bit at the Baker supercharger. It's coming along nicely. I threw a stitched together picture in the show notes, but it is not live yet. They're still working on it. We got 11 in construction, 5 in the States, 3 in Canada. Portugal, Austria, and Norway are also getting supercharger constructions started. And we have 5 new permits, 3 in the States, Austria, and Norway. And this, in a ironic way, includes Huntington, West Virginia.
That is ironic. Why is it ironic?
Because it is deep in coal country. It's almost on the border of Ohio and West Virginia. Bam.
And just so the people know, when you started doing the supercharger updates, so many weeks ago, we get a couple of listings occasionally. Sometimes no real important listings at all. And now it's almost always in the 20s every week.
That's true.
So it's the new normal for a bunch of them to be opening and in construction and in the permitting. And I think that is amazing. And as we all sit and listen to people bitch and moan and vote for the demise of Tesla because the Model 3 is late, I ask you this. Is anybody else building a quick charging infrastructure for any of their vehicles that they're putting out between now and 2020, Robert? The answer is?
Woefully low numbers.
That's right. It's not happening.
I think Porsche has 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. One's in Germany, so I'm not going to be using it.
So by the time the 3s are out, there's going to be so many more superchargers to be supercharging on. It's going to be super.
How about a Tesla supercharging fun fact?
You know me, Robert. I am all about the fun fact.
So we all know which country has the most superchargers.
Yeah, Canada.
It is the Estados Unidos.
Oh, not Canada.
No.
Okay.
No, Canada.
Uh-oh, this is about to get very difficult for me, I have a feeling.
The second.
Oh, second.
Largest number of superchargers is in a country in which a gigafactory will soon be built.
Oh, then it has to be China.
Bam. The question I have for you
I thought that was the question.
Well, I gave you a clue on that one. What is the number three on the list?
I'm going to say Norway.
Didn't know. I was surprised.
I'm going to say Norway.
You would say Norway.
I did say Norway.
It's France.
France. Well, France is big.
Yeah.
It would make sense.
I think Norway is four.
Norway.
I was impressed by that. And then I also looked at how many superchargers, the stalls, the actual plug, how many are in service as of today?
739 million.
I wish. But you are off by exactly two orders of magnitude.
Exactly two orders of magnitude?
Check it out.
How's that even
7,396.
Wow, that was total guesser.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
You are clairvoyant.
I am. My name's Tom.
What do you think the Tesla stock price is going to be when it opens on Monday?
I don't know. It's not going to be high.
No. Did we actually check?
I don't know. Hey, Google, what's the Tesla stock price going to be when it opens on Monday?
My apologies. I don't understand.
So they still haven't fixed the future seeing, hey, Google.
I can't wait to get into that Waymo car. I'm ready to go.
No, because I specifically asked what it was going to be on Monday, though.
Oh,
she can't answer that question, Robert. I tricked you with my asking abilities.
Well, there again, I wasn't listening to you.
Yeah, shocker. It's like Mel never left.
Well, let's see. I got down here that we have like a couple stories and we have letters. Mm-hmm. And there was one more supercharger kind of tip that came.
Oh, it's a tip?
It sort of points to personal responsibility among talking Tesla Nation.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You're about to get lectured, Nation.
Well, people were complaining that some of these superchargers, when they get to them, they have like a busted handle. Ugh. Or they plug into 4A and it's not working, so they move to 2B and it's working, but then stops working. Then they go to 1, mm-hmm, and they spend like 15 minutes driving back and forth to get to the best charge.
I've never had this happen.
Well, evidently it happens a fair amount.
All right.
And so this fellow, Tao Jones, who's evidently been on the Tesla Motors forum a long time, mm-hmm, wrote a really nice piece, I thought. And he said, after the first pedestal you encounter, call Tesla. There's an 800 number on every single pedestal. Mm-hmm. It's on the inside of the red open hoop. Call them and tell them, hey, the handle's not working on this one. Because how else would they know? I don't think these pedestals are like beaming out, oh, somebody trying to use me and I'm not working. Help.
Why do they sound like old people when they don't call Tesla?
Yeah. And so... He said, you can ask Tesla, and this is, I expect, from his experience,
mm-hmm,
hey, Tesla, what are the best pedestals to use here now at this supercharger?
Oh.
And he further suggests, mm-hmm, because you know how long it takes to get somebody on the phone sometimes at Tesla?
So he suggested, and now he's further suggesting.
Correct. Sometimes it takes a while to get somebody on the phone at Tesla.
I know it.
Yeah. So while you're there, if you're traveling 1,000 miles and you've got like 8 more supercharger stops, say, mm-hmm, okay, the next supercharger I'm going to be at is, I don't know, Baker, California.
Uh-huh.
Although it's not open.
Yeah.
Which supercharger stalls are working the best? Oh.
Uh-huh.
2489. Thank you. And
uh-huh,
the next one. And the next one. And he said that he has gotten them to give him the layout for his next, you know, whatever, 5-10 hours worth of driving. Which are the supercharger stalls that are the best along his route? And though it may change, this could save you a lot of time. And what the hell else are you doing? You're just sitting there waiting for your car to charge.
So you got a little, get your notepad out.
Yep.
Or your note function on your iPhone.
Yep.
And just write them down.
Once you got
them on the phone.
Good.
And also ask them what they had for breakfast and all kinds of other inane questions, which is why when you and me call them, they don't answer the phone, because this guy's asking them where he's going to be for the next 8 days and which superchargers to go into.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that turned ugly on Tao really quickly, and I apologize.
I thought he had some good pro tips.
He
did. I'm going to use that.
All right. That's a good pro tip. The next article is no longer about earthbound vehicles. So what does that mean it's going to be about, Robert? It means it's going to be about air and spacebound vehicles, which on this show means what?
SpaceX. There was a kaboomy in Texas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There was?
Turns out SpaceX has been using various versions of the Falcon 9 engine.
Boom.
Yeah. And now they're up into like the fourth generation. And I guess they're going, they're pushing the technology yet further.
So this is the Merlin
That's
variant.
Right. Right. So the Falcon vehicle is called the Falcon 9 because it has nine Merlin engines on it.
It's so easy to name these things. Falcon, that's a bird, it flies.
Yes.
Nine wings, or in this case, nine engines.
Or nine Merlins.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, evidently, there was a big explosion at their test site in Texas when they were loading liquid oxygen through this rocket. It wasn't even firing at the time the explosion took place.
So they were loading it up and it boomed?
Yeah.
No one was hurt, thankfully.
Yeah, that is the most important part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
It did kind of mess up two of their test sites, these like alcoves in which they mount up the engine
and
do their testing and such.
I don't know if you've ever been to a rocket engine test.
I have not.
I have. And if it had gone bad, it would have been really bad. There's no doubt about it that there's a lot of stuff around it and engines are big.
Yeah.
Although the Merlins aren't huge. I saw a main shuttle engine test once right in Chatsworth.
Oh, wow.
From a couple miles away. A friend of mine's dad was an engineer over there.
Cool.
And they took us up into the mountains and we were much closer than I would have liked to have been to this thing.
In other words, it may not have been so safe.
But it was amazing the amount of full power that came out of one of those engines.
Wow.
So I could only imagine the sort of damage and frightfulness that this could have happened if it was exploding.
Well, I guess one of the commenters on this article from either Space News or the LA Times, I was reviewing two sources, said that the company should consider itself lucky that they got this failure data point on their test stand and under controlled conditions instead of during a launch. And I can agree with that.
I mean, that is just pointing out the obvious, though, right?
You should consider yourselves lucky, young.
It's like he's the old man sitting on the porch.
The old man.
And Tesla just drove by on its skateboard and only scratched its elbow instead of breaking a leg.
You're lucky, young man. Let that be a lesson to you. You are just on the sidewalk and not on the other sidewalk.
Well, it's going to take them up to 4 weeks to fix this, and it's not going to change the launch manifest. So we will have the Zuma fly this week.
Yeah.
That's the secret one that we're not supposed to know about.
From Vandenberg, right?
I think it's from Florida.
Ah, come on.
Yeah, no, it's only going to be the next gen 30 to 40 satellites, the EcoStar, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are the ones that are going to go up for the satellite phones. And did you ever buy your satellite phone?
Maybe.
We talked about those.
Mm-hmm.
Those are hot spots, are very hot.
Hot.
There was an interesting NPR story that just for me spread the love, showed the world that EVs are going to come and get you. No matter what, you're going to want all of you out there.
How did another Chinese EV story end up in potpourri? I feel like you're just hiding things about EVs in the potpourri section. This is fully about EVs, although here's some interesting tidbits you may or may not be unaware of in regards to this article about BYD, which is wanting to be a global car brand.
Yes.
Who is an investor, 10%, an American gentleman, invests in a lot of things.
Yes.
Who is this man?
Berkshire Hathaway.
Well, he has a name. That's his company.
Yes.
And his name is? I got you on this.
Mr. Owner, his name is, I forgot.
That is Mr. Warren Buffett.
Right. Not Warren Hatchett. Warren Buffett.
Warren, I don't even know who Warren Hatchett is. Was he in Molly Hatchett, the 70s rock band? Okay. So that's one thing.
And he doesn't put his money into stupid stuff.
No, he's a smart cat.
Yeah.
They have sold electric buses in America, BYD, in what two cities?
I think Los Angeles is one of
them. That's one. That's correct, sir. And the second city is?
Palmdale.
That is not correct. It is L.A. and Denver.
Denver.
Coincidentally enough, both cities with an incredible amount of marijuana stores.
Interesting. I wonder what the connection is.
I don't think the buses are currently autonomous, but you can bet your bippy that they're going in that direction. And then the last thing is, who is the brand spokesman. I don't know why we're doing this for BYD. Who's the brand spokesman? And he is a young man who did not go down with his ship.
Brand spokesman did not go down with his ship. Wow.
He is a
George Clooney.
He is an advocate for the green revolution. Leonardo DiCaprio. That is correct.
Titanic.
He did not go down.
I thought he did.
Well, he went down in the ship, but then he actually died. He didn't go, like, he wasn't on the ship. He was later.
He died in the water. Cold water, and yes, the woman correct. Continued on and found the tiara.
Correct. He was in the water. She was on top of the thing.
That
in the
was
movie.
Kind of a trick question.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Titanic,
then you're really sorry. Out of the loop.
So we have letters. We're going to start with a letter from Carson, age 15. I cannot believe this is the reason we can no longer use S-ton.
That's
because
true.
Because children are listening and writing us lovely letters. Thank you so very much, Carson.
Carson's got good taste.
Yeah.
He drove the Tesla, and he said he likes it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to say any more information because we're not going to incriminate anyone.
Good on you, Carson.
Franco Capizzo. Thank you, Franco, for writing to us again.
He let us know about the Siri integration.
Indeed. Isn't that cool? I said, it's the bomb.
Oh, it's the bomb.
It's the bomb. When I can say to my car, you know, mm-hmm. heat up my seat but warmer, uh-huh. defrost my windshield.
But defrostier.
And back my car out of the tight parking space.
Uh-huh.
I'll be outside in 10 minutes with a coffee.
Thank you so very much.
Won't that be nice?
That would be lovely. John Hawthorne sent us a letter in regards to all things driverless and what that's going to mean. And it's going to mean all sorts of things. Obviously, safety. Obviously, more productivity. Obviously, me changing my clothes in the back of a vehicle for no real good reason other than why not?
Yeah.
Because right now, I'll take a jacket off occasionally. It's super dangerous.
Yeah,
to try to take your clothes off
yeah.
while you're driving a car.
Yeah.
Why do I continue to do it? I don't know. I'm like the evil Knievel of a guy taking a sweatshirt off.
I don't want to incriminate you, but
mm-hmm.
I won't.
Okay, good. And the next letter comes from Ryan Elson, who wants us to know that the Tesla referral credit ends next week, but really it ended last week.
Yeah.
So either we got the letter late.
Yes.
Or we need a time machine yet again.
The time machine would super, super be a time turner, I guess. I would like that because then it just fits around your neck.
Yeah, so the referral program isn't gone, so nobody panic. But right. the $1,000 credit you used to get instead of free super. So you used to get, use my promo code, Laney9300. Use yours.
On even days.
And yours is also Laney9300, which is really weird. So I don't really understand why we even have two different ones.
Right, and so now all you get... Not that it's all.
That's a lot.
You get free supercharging for the life of your vehicle.
For the life of the vehicle. So you sell it, free supercharging for that person. So that's pretty cool. Thanks yes. for the letter, Ryan. The next letter is from John Sheen, and he's telling us about the Nissan Leaf. And do you know where in the country
yes.
of the United States of America uh-huh. could you live uh-huh. and get a Nissan Leaf for uh-huh. the cheapest amount based on local, federal, and state let's call them rebates, because that's what they are, to purchase a Leaf. Where is that?
Well, obviously, it has to be on the left coast.
No,
so I'll say
that's incorrect.
California?
No, you would be incorrect. So it's a combination of New York and New Jersey, although depending on where you are. But anyways, PSENG, which I believe is a power company in New York and New Jersey,
right.
offering customers a $10,000 credit off of the Leaf. I Whoa. Don't understand why.
Wow.
I don't understand how.
Wow.
I don't know how this benefits them.
Right.
In any way, shape, or form. But you take that. You take the $7,500 federal tax credit. If you live in New York State, $2,200 New York State credit, that is a grand total of $19,700 off the cost of a Leaf. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, that's like... 44,000 kilowatt hours of electricity
credit. I don't know where the bonus is for those people. I have no idea. They don't sell gasoline, it would be my guess, even either.
Yeah, pretty cool. Well, hey, let's buy a Leaf in New Jersey, New York region where you get that credit.
The next letter comes from Pavel Halabala, who called me out for my bad example of rolling a snowball down the hill, which yeah. I... still stand by as being a lovely example of exponential growth, even though for sure Pavel says it's not.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Pavel.
Of course you do. You hate me.
No, I don't. But okay. I love his example, and I actually put it to the test yesterday at work.
Is this the first time you've ever heard of this?
So Pavel says, or actually refers us to, if you take a piece of paper, pretty darn thin, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a, if you put that piece of paper on the surface of the Earth, you have a long way to get to the moon.
You can't do it.
I mean, even if you jump like Virginia, you cannot get to the moon.
No.
If you fold that paper in half, now it's twice as thick, you are still a long way from the moon. So let's fold it again. So now it's four layers thick. Ooh. Let's fold it again. Now it's eight layers thick. Let's fold it again. If you fold it like eight times, that's about as much, or maybe nine times, that you can fold a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
In fact, people tried to do this with a sheet of paper the size of like a football field.
Mm-hmm.
They folded it and used cranes and forklifts to do the folding. But let's just get back to my paper.
Yeah.
So I folded my paper five times, and it was maybe a quarter inch thick. If I continued to fold that paper, it can get thick enough to get to the moon.
But you can't do it.
But if I could.
But it's not possible.
If I could. If I could. I would reach the moon in 42 folds. That is exponential
and
growth.
And if I had $80 million, I would have a Tesla today.
You'd have like a million Teslas.
But I don't. No, I wouldn't. No, you'd have, I wouldn't. I'd have a Tesla because that would be a waste.
110,000 of them. I love this experiment. It's really cool. He gives us a link. Mm-hmm. This is exponential growth. I'm going to put a tweet out on this.
All right, but you can't. It is. It's an example of exponential growth that is impossible.
But it's a theory thing you think through. It's kind of to expand your mind. Just go back to the marijuana store. Take a couple hits.
Hey,
and
man,
then you can think about it and
off.
Tell them all about it. And they'll all be sitting there folding paper the rest of the night. It's the rebirth of origami.
And we got another letter
from
Ryan.
He sent us another letter.
Elson.
Yeah, he wanted to tell us.
It's a two-letter week for Ryan, and they both made the show?
He wanted to give us some real knowledge about manufacturing and maintenance concepts and methodologies. And it is a very long, very informative letter, and it says at the end, thanks, especially if you actually read this far.
Oh, it's so long.
I learned a lot. I did get overwhelmed and had to read it in two sittings. Thanks, Ryan. We love having you listening. We look forward to more letters from you.
But he said if you stamp 1,000 panels in an hour, and you multiply that out, you can get to 10,000 cars a week.
Yes.
So
we just got to get those robots moving. I just want to know whose job is it to grease the robots? Because if they're moving that fast, maybe they're auto-greased. Or maybe there's a robot that greases the robots. But who greases that robot?
I don't know, man. You're going down a black hole of robot greasing.
John Reinhart wrote to me about superchargers.
Mm-hmm.
And John was giving us intel about a new supercharger in Silicon Valley in Cupertino. He sent us a picture of where it is. It's just above the Great Circle of Apple. Which is really coming along nicely. Mm-hmm. He shows us supercharger cabinets on pallets and the stuff being unboxed. You know, there are these crates that they send the supercharger cabinets in.
Mm-hmm.
I almost got one of those to make a table out of or desk or something. I thought that just would be really cool.
I want one. Were you gonna like tape it to the top of your car?
No, I was just going to use that as a desk to work on, throw a piece
of glass.
Right,
but how are you
going to
get it home?
Oh, yeah, I could just... put some foam on the top of my car and wrap my roof to it with a rope.
Where were you where this was even like a thought process for
Culver
you?
City, about a mile from my
pretty
house.
Pretty close. Yeah. You could have walked that thing home.
It would have been a lot of work.
I like it. So why didn't you do it? Because they wouldn't give you the piece of wood?
I went back. The wood wasn't there. The guy who said he would give it to me wasn't there. Then my wife called him. He says, I'll hold it for you. And I don't know. I think that would be, I don't know why anybody has not done this yet. And scoop those babies up and make stuff out of them.
Well, what should happen is they should go back to the factory and get reboxed so they get reused and not build new ones.
Yes.
That's what I think should happen. The next letter comes from Craig Watson. Good morning from sunny Florida. He sent us a picture. Oh, so close, Craig.
So close.
That he was super duper excited. He got 112 kilowatts of charge. Unfortunately, at the very moment he was listening to last week's show.
Yeah, 112.
And we let him know that somebody had sent in a picture of 119, and he all of a sudden, he felt terrible.
I know. Well, he was at 47% state of charge. If he was down around less than 10%, he probably would have licked it.
So Craig,
so close you could lick the prize.
So Craig, it was your state of charge that cost you the record.
Yeah.
Or at least
so.
A tie of the record, because the real theoretical record is 120.
Well, you know, they said that the superchargers could go up to 135, but I don't believe there are versions of the battery. If you go under your right wheel housing and
right
you turn your
housing.
Right wheel,
right front wheel, right back
right front,
wheel.
You turn your steering wheel all the way to the left and you look behind the wheel, I believe that's where you can see the label on your battery. And from that, you can look it up on the forums. There are various indicators of which generation battery you have.
Ah.
And the higher level battery generations, I thought, can go to 135 kilowatts.
Ooh, theoretical limit. That's it, Robert. That is the show. 112 in the proverbial can. I believe we've spoken for a very short amount of time. I hope everybody found it to be informative.
Yes.
If not, write a letter to Robert at Robert Rosenblum talking Tesla and let him know. It's all his fault now.
Do you know what time it is, Tom?
Time to go curling.
It's curling time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is fun for me.
Yes.
I will see you again, same bat channel. And next week, we will be again discussing the semi-launch event. This is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the first live event reveal that me and you will be at together. Is that correct?
No, we were at the battery reveal.
The
All
power
three of
wall
us,
one?
The Powerwall.
Were you on the show then?
I think I was slipping you lots of stories for free.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm still doing it.
You still are. That is true. So again, let me reiterate, 11:16 this Thursday at 7:45, Dr. Mel Herbert will be on, I believe, the YouTube.
Yes.
Streaming
on
live.
On the Talking Tesla channel.
Streaming live. He'll talk for 15 minutes and then he'll hush his mouth as Elon takes the stage. And we will hopefully be able to be reporting live from the event into the thing, but we don't know. That's some weird technology thing we've yet to work out yet. But tune into that, people, because you know it. You want to hear Mel's voice.
That accent.
That accent.
Any mispronunciations that he might
fish. The mispronunciations of the names, the range anxiety, all of it. He's the total package.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear what Mel has to say about the big truck. And one last thing.
Oh, one more thing.
Thank you to Andy.
Hi, Andy.
For the Tesla Club of Southern Arizona.
Uh-huh.
We got a shirt ton of shirts
we
today.
We did. We got a shirt. And on the back, turn around, Robert. Let me read the back of it. It says, tons. U.S. is smaller than metric, is smaller than imperial, and is smaller than SH*T tons. Thank you, Andy. A gift from the Tesla Club of Southern Arizona. Not Northern Arizona.
No.
Not all of Arizona.
Neither.
But Southern Arizona.
Specifically.
And we appreciate all of the lovely gifts. We'll see you all next week.
Adios.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mel Herbert here again. Can't be with the boys this week due to the crazy nature of my life. As I talked about last week, 7 Kenyans in the house, bone marrow transplants are about to commence. And, you know, it's just crazy. And I really thank them for sort of holding down the ship, doing a great job until things settle down a bit. But I always want to jump on as much as I can and give you my 2 cents. And there hasn't been that much in the news. It's all about the event on Thursday where I'll be streaming live from the studio and the boys will actually be there. So we're going to try and pull off a little live stream action. So I hope to see you on that. But this week I had to drive to Fresno to visit another friend in hospital. And I wanted to bring that up because it reminded me again of my anxieties about range and supercharging. If you listen to the show, you know that I get super anxious about the car. And I think that the top end range of a Tesla should be 500 miles to compete with ICE cars. Right now, the top end of range is about 300 miles. I think it should be 500 miles, particularly for those people who do a lot of long distance driving. You have to stop a lot if you go on a big long drive if you're in a Tesla, much more than if you're in a gas car. And you certainly have to stay and charge much longer than you have to fill up in a gas car. Now, if you don't own a Tesla, you might look at that 300 miles rated range and say, 300 miles, that's pretty good. But let me tell you, it's not 300 miles. That is an EPA rated range. And it really should be considered sort of rural driving, where you're really only driving like 55, 60 miles an hour. And you get a lot more range at that speed than the usual freeway speeds here in the US, which are probably, at least in California, more like 75 miles an hour. You get a lot less range. And then if you add in some air conditioning or heating in the car, and then if you add in some headwind, and then if you add in some hills, you're not getting anywhere near 300 miles. So you may be able to drive for 2 or 3 hours at a good clip, but then you're going to have to stop and you have to plug in, and you have to plug in for at least 30 minutes, and often longer than that. So on a long drive, it's going to add a significant amount of time. And again, for many of us who own Teslas, we're okay with it. We're part of the early adopters. We're part of the revolution. And most of the time, we're not driving that far. So around town or for usual jaunts, that kind of range, 300 theoretical, best case, is fine. But I just think if Tesla is not going to add more range, and they've said that, then they absolutely have to continue to build out the supercharger network as they're doing. I've now realized the importance of the destination charging. But we need a different type of destination charging. So here is the exact scenario. So I'm in LA, and then I'm going to drive to Fresno, which is about 240, 250 miles away. I have pretty full charge in the car, and I could do it the whole way without stopping, but I decided to stop at the Tejon Ranch. And there was only one other car there initially, and that car left, and so there were 10 stalls wide open and just me. Okay, so we'll come back to that in a second. But then I drove to Fresno, and visiting the hospital, which is on the south side of Fresno, but I really needed to charge up to come back home, so I had to go to the north side of Fresno to find a supercharger and then charge up and then go visit my friend and then drive home. So here's the problem with that. It was 15 miles out of my way. So I had to drive 15 miles down the road, charge up 15 miles back. So that's a bit of a hassle, bit of a pain. Now, I love driving the Tesla and I had the day off, so it's fine. But for a normal person, that's really out of the way. Why couldn't I just drive to the hospital and fill up there? If you're in a gas car, you can do that. There are gas stations everywhere. And initially I was thinking, well, there just needs to be a whole bunch more superchargers. But that is a classic scenario that I think comes up all the time. I'm going to the mall. I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to some place that is my destination, but it's very unlikely to have a destination charger. So destination chargers here in the US are high AC, do about 50 miles of range per hour of charge, but they're mostly at hotels. You are going to a destination, you plug in there, and the hotel owner wants, you know, or motel owner wants you to stay there, and so they put up a couple of chargers. But we need these all over the place. Tesla needs to have these everywhere. They need to have them at hospitals. They need to have them on the street. They need to have a whole bunch at the mall. They need to have them all over the place because the way to move electric vehicles forward is charging infrastructure. It just really hit me again. It's all about charging infrastructure. The cars themselves are way superior to ICE cars. It's not even close when you get a Tesla, when you drive it. The acceleration, the quietness, the lack of maintenance, everything we talk about all the time, it's not even close. But what's not at all close is charging infrastructure. And certainly here in the US, it's all over the place. Yes, there's public chargers, but there are not very many of them. Yes, there are other sort of charge groups that charge you money to fill up your car with electrons, but they're not that good. They're often not that fast. They're often confusing. So if Tesla is going to have, what is, 25 million cars on the road perhaps in 5 years, as Elon said last week, then that infrastructure of charging they have to continue to take on. So not just supercharging, but metro charging, which we're very excited about in big cities. You don't have a charger at your apartment, but you can go down to the metro station. That's great. But we also have to have destination chargers everywhere. And not at, I'm going to sleep at that destination, but I'm going to be there for a couple of hours destination. So I just think Tesla needs to continue moving forward with that and put them everywhere. They need to be at the Starbucks. They need to be at the mall. They need to be at every hospital. There needs to be a lot of them. They need to be on the street. If this revolution is going to continue and if Tesla is going to be the one that continues to push it forward, they need to put a substantial amount of cash into just putting these chargers everywhere, which raises the question where permitting and really, really, really important maintenance. These things break. Some people even break them on purpose you have to also put in there cash for maintenance. We can talk more about how they could do that, but these need to be absolutely everywhere in order to make this a car for everybody and not just early adopters. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name's Mel Herbert. The boys are doing a fantastic job. I will talk to some of you, I hope, on the stream on Thursday night. So we'll go live at 7:45. And the way I do it is I'll do a little intro, we'll do a little chat, and then when Elon goes live, we'll just go full screen. You can watch the whole show. I won't say anything. And then after the show, I'll come on, make a few comments about this event, and hopefully, if we can make the technology work, we'll actually talk to Tom and Robert after the event and get their impressions, because they're going to be there. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Herbert out.
Talking Tesla is a production of Fully Boo Incorporated, hosted by Mel Herbert, Tom Wolfson, and Robert Rosenblum, edited by Eliza Jane Barnes, and produced by CC Herbert and Mel Herbert. To support Talking Tesla, go to patreon.com/talkingtesla. To find our referral codes, go to talkingtesla.net/about. And finally, if you love the show, go write us a review on iTunes.